Hello?
Sorry to bother you, Mr. President, but Bill Wirtz is seeing George Meany very soon, and we think we've got an agreed procedure for review that'll be satisfactory to him on this question of 50-50 sharing or possible sharing on East European grain shipments. But before Bill goes to the mat with him, he wants to be sure whether you have any special understanding with George on this.
None whatever. I've never discussed the merits of it with him, but I want to be sure that that you coordinate agriculture, commerce, trade.
That's what I'm trying to do.
And labor, and I thought they were better coordinated. My observation, the cabinet is vice president.
Yeah.
Led me to believe they're better coordinated than they are now. If they deteriorate any, I won't find stop it.
It's not perfect, Mr. President. There's a real problem of communication between commerce and labor, but that we have to take more struggle with. I needed to know your particular views on this.
Here's what we told Meany. Wirtz made his commitments to him. I didn't.
Yeah.
I told Meany that I was very anxious for him to go in and find a solution.
Mm-hmm.
Wirtz made his commitments to Meany, and as I understood those commitments, they were that we would set up a grievance committee.
That's correct.
That we would see what we could do to, in an effort to increase the amount of the stuff that was hauled in foreign bottoms. We'd explore that, but we didn't specify that it'd be 55 or 45 or anything else. That that had licenses on would be 50-50.
Right.
Now, I understand we've complied with the 50-50. I understand we didn't. We messed around and fooled around and dilly-dallied and didn't get out the grievance procedures until they called us a son of a gun.
Yeah, well, this was...
The Commerce says, well, the reason they didn't, because Wirtz had it, and Wirtz is going to talk to Meany before he let him issue it. And Wirtz was busy with the railroad strike for a week, and he didn't get to talk to Meany, and so forth. Now,
I think the grievance thing is in good shape, and what I wanted to know is whether there was anything further in your last conversation with Meany. As I say, there's a problem of communication and trust between commerce and labor, but that we can settle later.
Yeah. Now, anything else?
Yes, sir. We've got a message that we want to send out to Castelo Branco on the occasion of his inauguration. They reckon there's a difference between Gordon, who wants to be very warm, and our view in the White House, which is that you ought to be a little careful while this fellow's locking people up, and that a more routine message would be desirable at this stage.
Well, I'd be a little warm. That'd be mine. I'd lean over a little.
You would?
Yeah.
It'll be published.
I know it, but I don't give a damn. I think that there's some people that need to be locked up here and there, too. I haven't got any crusade on them, but I don't want them... I wish they locked up some before they took Cuba. I don't want to be effervescent and overflowing and just go...
you want to encourage him and say we were going to be
I want to be about like I was with the King of Jordan this morning. I want to be warm and friendly and express the best wishes and hopes for a democratic, constitutional, progressive operation and say it takes both... that in this world we live in, that we've got to work closely together, and we're ready to work together with the constitutionally selected government there, and we want him to know that we're interested in people everywhere, and particularly in his great country.
Okay, I got it. I can fix that.
Now, on this Evans story this morning...
Sorry,
No, it's not at all. Did you give him any impression
like
that?
No, sir. I haven't even talked to him.
Well...
On that subject, I played tennis with him once, but I haven't talked substance with him.
We have to knock that down, because we don't feel that that Fulbright is doing
all
the right thing.
And speech will do that, Mr. President.
I didn't have any idea that Fulbright was making a speech. That's another place he's wrong.
No.
Well, if you get a chance now.
Yeah, I'll probably see him, or do you want me to call him? I'll be glad to straighten him out direct. I just don't know how much we care.
I'd just call him and just say I don't want my tennis player to get in trouble here. Now, number one, Johnson did see Fulbright. He has no intention of getting close to Fulbright as Secretary of State.
Yeah.
For several reasons. One is Fulbright's never been interested in being Secretary of State and has so stated on many occasions. That's number one to the President. Said that he wouldn't think of leaving the Senate. So that's true or untrue. That's what he stated. So that is a true statement that he has stated that. Number two, he had no idea that Fulbright was making any speech at all. It was purely a social visit. Number three, Fulbright did not mention the speech in any way, any time, didn't mention Cuba, didn't mention Panama. If he had, he would have been told in great detail, as he was told the afternoon after he made it. Tom Mann briefed him, and he didn't have any objections to what Tom Mann told him my policy was. Number four, we're not changing Secretary of State, so we're not making Fulbright Secretary of State if we do change, because he's not interested. And finally, we think that our policy in Cuba has paid fine returns. That we didn't punish their people. We got their ships out. They're not reoccurring. We have given our own base self-sufficiency. And it's much more alert and much more ready to function today than was a month ago. And probably it was a good thing that happened to us, cutting off the water. They needed a new power plant anyway, and we've got the new power plant that Congress wouldn't give them under ordinary circumstances, and it's desalting the water, and that's something we needed to save us money down the road. So Cuba has worked out fine. Panama, we're doing exactly what we said we'd do, what we want to do, what we think ought to be the principle this government functions on, not agreeing signing something in the dark without reading it. We don't give them any blank checks. And that's the only principle we had, and we followed through on that.
Right.
Cyprus, we haven't done as well as we'd like. They're still killing people, but thank God we haven't got Americans in there, and we've handled it the best we could. In Brazil, that's a matter for them,
but it's
not a Cuba.
Yeah.
It's not a Cuba.
Yeah.
And that we're getting ready to announce a substantial series of actions in the Alliance program for the Western Hemisphere, like REA projects and things of that kind. And some of the ambassadors told me this morning, King of Jordan's ceremony, that the Panama thing, that the Brazilian thing, that the work that we're doing, Wonder Man, in the Alliance of Progress, and particularly the interest that private sector, David Rockefeller's group, showing, has got an entirely new attitude, and they don't know who's putting out these stories that the whole diplomatic community was terribly upset with our policy. I rather think they go back to some ex-employee instead of the diplomatic community, because one of the ambassadors this morning I talked to said just the opposite.
Well, there's a circle of people, I guess, who put it out. I'm not in touch with them myself, but Duncan is, and he tells me that this kind of thing is circulating around.
Well,
some of it, the people take in their each other's washing on this.
We better talk to Duncan and tell Duncan to tell all of them. I know that I know of two that's circularizing it, and they're people that one of them's an ex-close newspaper man, and one of them's an ex-employee. That it wasn't done like he would have done it. And,
Ralph is going to speak to you, Mr. President.
Sir?
Ralph Duncan is going to speak to you about whether he ought to go on in Latin American affairs. He and Tom Mann don't hit it off. The difficulty of moving him out of it is that we get another range of criticism of another good White House man goes west.
I have never felt that I need to rely on him on Latin America at all. I rely on you on anything that's foreign policy and defense, and if you haven't got it, you've got some fellow down the line that's got it, or you know where to get it. And I'm a guy that I don't think you have to be an expert in every field, but you have to be an expert on where the experts are.
I personally think it'd be better that way, Mr. President. I've said so to Ralph, but I think what you may want to calculate is whether you want to have another fellow thinking of leaving the White House. That's the problem.
Well, I don't. You see, Mac, I've got a problem of being loyal to Jack Kennedy.
I know it.
To his memory and to his feeling that I was a trustworthy guy.
I
haven't got a problem politically with the people around Kennedy.
Not a bit.
Kennedy's poll was 49 at this point of the game, mine 77. And the ones that keep it from being more than 77 are some of the 49 that go around talking all the time. They say that that we are buffoons and corn pones and uninterested in affairs and not being able to get any job done and demeaning the presidency and all that by stopping strikes. But the poll shows us 81% in the East.
We got no problem. We got no problem.
Now, our problem, as the leadership told me this morning, is trying to keep some of the big, mean, fat, rich Republicans from being too strong for us to run off some other people. And we, the poll that I'm now looking at, and I don't rely on them completely, but it's released April 8th, and it's Gallup, who's not a Democrat.
Mm-hmm.
And it shows in the East that I have an approval of 81 and a disapproval of 6.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now,
fantastic.
In the Midwest, it's 77 and 9.
Is that before or after the Farm Bill?
This is before.
Yeah.
Approval in the West is 76 and 8. But the only place I'm in trouble is the South. Disapproval of 13.
Well, you'd be welcome to want to move into the North, Mr.
So Ralph's leaving me wouldn't hurt me, really,
no, I
politically.
Understand. Actually, that isn't my point. He's a very devoted and
I like
good
him,
fellow.
And I think he's good on personnel. I think
That's
he
right.
checks these things down,
yeah.
and he can work them out. But
I think that the personnel job is one of the three or four most important jobs in the White House.
It
he
is.
Has always chafed a little bit under that job, and that's why, really, we made room for him in the Latin American area. Now, there's just a temperamental thing, which I don't think there's any interest in going into, that he and Tom are not a channel of communication.
Do you know what it is? Does he not talk to Tom, or Tom not talk to him?
Well, they talk to each other, but they go right by each other, Mr. President.
I never talked to Tom. I haven't talked to Tom. I always talk to Russ.
Yeah.
But maybe I ought to talk to Tom more. You think I ought to?
I think that when we get issues up, that Tom should be in where you and he can hear each
oh,
other.
Oh, yes. I think that's right.
I
issues up. But I'm talking about...
No, I think you ought to conduct your business either with Russ or on a staff basis through my office. I think that's easier and more efficient, really.
You know, it's mighty easy for me to call Mike Forrestal and say Vietnam. But I wonder what his boss thinks when the president's calling him every hour.
It doesn't bother me, Mr.
No,
President.
It wouldn't bother you, but don't you think a boss ought to normally feel like that he's entitled to be on top of the job?
Well, I think if it's something you want hot information on, Mr. President, you ought to call where you can get it fastest. When I think it's when it's a decision or an organization problem, then I think... But I don't think you need any lessons on that.
Well, my judgment, I follow the charts pretty well, and I think a man that's sure of himself doesn't hesitate to have Comer sitting in here with me right now. He's not afraid Comer's going to get his job. But I think the boss pretty well ought to deal with the other boss if he can. Maybe Ralph and... Maybe Tom doesn't do Ralph that way, and if he doesn't, it's Tom's fault. Tom ought to talk to him. Ought to tell him what he's doing, why he's doing it. Ask him to get in on the planning of it.
Either that, I think that would be the ideal thing, and that's what I've been trying to work on.
Now, somebody
really
told me
to
you
do.
Were going to see Lippman at
yes,
1
I am
o'clock. I don't want to, I've got to be very careful about this, but I thought that his...
Wasn't that extraordinary, this
his, His contributions to his country have been about as good as anybody that I know in the world, and his advice and counsel is about as respected. And tell him the only thing that we disagree with is this slush fund, and that he's going to run me if he keeps saying that because I have such respect for his judgment. Tell him I've followed his De Gaulle thing, and we like what's happening, and we've. We've told him what we're doing in Latin America, and we like what's happening. And
I'm going to work on him on one other thing, which is the MLF, Mr. President. He's very unenthusiastic about that, and I don't want to. It creates a real problem, because now that we're clear, and you made it very clear where you want to go the other day, we don't want Walter going around Europe saying it's no good. He's about to go to Europe, so I'll do the best I can in that. It might be that it'd be useful for you to have a talk to him.
I would like to, and I wish you'd tell him that I don't want to be bothering him and tiring him out and chasing him, but that I welcome counsel with him, and you would like for him to sit down and talk over one or two things before he goes so he can see me as you see me, that you're afraid a good many of them don't.
That's right. Exactly the way I'd
bring him in, and I'd bring Reston in.
Well, wasn't Reston helpful on Sunday? Yeah, it's a new picture.
No, but I think it's because you said
Well, I do get...
Because, well, I,